between assuming and knowing. There's a very big difference between seeing and hearing and knowing. When you know, there is always some little doubt. There is a beautiful Rambam. What a Rambam. The Rambam says, all the nisim that Moshe Rabbeinu did, he said, the Am Yisrael didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of those miracles. He said, because Moshe Rabbeinu did those miracles out of necessity. He was hemmed in from all sides and the sea in front of them, and they couldn't get across, the sea split. They get over to the other side and the Egyptians are still in pursuit. They're going to annihilate them. The sea returns and kills them. They come to the other side, there's nothing to eat, there's more. There's nothing to drink, there's water. Each miracle is there for a purpose. He said, that's not the reason that he makes miracles. And says the Rambam, and even if one makes the miracle, there is a pitfall, there is some reservation always. Some reservation. The only time that the Am Yisrael had no reservation at all was on Sunday evening when they stood at the foot of Har Sinai and they heard Hashem saying, Moshe, Moshe, go and speak to the Bnei Yisroel, kach v'chach, and tell them so and so, or nochi Hashem Elokecha. Then there was no doubt anymore. They saw it and they heard it. No doubt anymore. As long as one doesn't see it, people don't speak about it. He assumed he must have given again. You don't act. That is what he means. So it shouldn't be known, and people will be after these women to marry them. He says, of course, Rashi remains with one slight difficulty. And in the end, why does he have this association with her? Why isn't he afraid? Perhaps he will come back from war. Should be afraid. That says Tosfos, I remain in a difficulty with Rashi. And that is the whole Tosfos.
Well, he had Ruach HaKodesh.
Who? David HaMelech.
So that might explain that problem?
Yes, that it to a very large extent it explains that problem. But the only thing is, to act on that Ruach HaKodesh is very...
Doesn't really anyway, because he did come back
before. Yes, but it was the Sofa Bilchomo.
Right.
The get was the Sofa Bilchomo. That's what Rashi says.
Right.
According to the implication, but also leaves the more negative relative to Vita Melt, that already he may have had murder in his heart in the sense that he wanted this woman at all costs. And therefore, not murder, shall we say, that he was going to have this woman at all costs.
Well, are there,
he means.
I don't think so. I think that what David HaMelech, he knew and all that. It's a difficult thing. One just doesn't do it, you see. We discussed that when we did the whole question of David HaMelech. We discussed it. Now, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much indeed. You know, I came here this evening and I was very, very tired. Do you think I'm tired now? Not in the least. Not in the least. But are you tired?
Not in the least.
Not in the most.
Can we go on? Would you like me to go on with the Gemara now? So let us go on a little bit further with the Gemara. Now, the big things are over. This is the big duff test. This is the big things are over. Now comes the Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, Af anan namitanin. The Gemara is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom.
From the bottom.
From the top, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Have you got the place? Omer Abaya. Said Abaya, Afa nan namitanino. We have also learned this law that if a person says Pesach Pesuach Matzosi, he's believed. We've also learned this law. Why does Abaya come with it? It's such a chidush that although we can say, how certain can he possibly be? How certain can he be? Nevertheless, we accept Pesach Pesuach. From where do we know it, says Abaya? We know it from a niche Mishnah. And what Mishnah? None other than our own Mishnah. It says, Besulo Niseis Leyom Horavi'i. A Besulo, Zari, do you know what a Besulo means?
Yeah.
What is a Besulo? A Besulo. A Besulo is a Besulo. Right. If you don't know what a Besula is, then we explain it means a virgin. But as soon as you know what a Besula is, then we call it a Besula. Right. Now, Omar Abaya said, Abaya Afanana Mitanino, we also learned in our own Mishnah. Besula Nisa Isle Yomoravi. A Besula gets married on Wednesday. So what is the deal? On Leyom Revi'i, on Wednesday, yes. Leyom Chamishi lo, but on Thursday she can't get married. Now, why can't she get married on Thursday? Ulam, my timer. Why? What is the reason? Bishum ikrure daito. Because we are afraid that if she gets married on Thursday, the Beis Din doesn't sit until Monday, and he will come off, he will be cooled off Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. On Monday he gets up a bit earlier. His wife says, what's the matter, why are you getting up so early? He said, oh, I don't know, I've got some work to do. She said, oh, what work have you got? We'll sleep a little bit later. Jolly good idea. He's not so excited anymore about it. Well, he's cooled off already. That's why. Now says the Gemara, Ulamai. So he'll get cooled off. What are we so afraid of? Elam Mace of Lokasubo. What are we afraid of? That he wants to go to the Beis Din in order not to give her a Kasuba. This is a possibility. Because the Kasuba is for 200 for a Besulo, and it turns out that she is a Be'ulo, that's 100. So we are afraid she mustn't get married on Thursday, because if Thursday he won't go to the Beis Din on Monday. Big deal if he doesn't go to the Beis Din on Monday. What's the worst that can happen? He'll give her 200 instead of 100. He wants to give her 200, let him give her 200. What does it worry us? So that can't be a reason that he can't get married on Wednesday. Dev ila meisiv lo kesuba neisiv lo elo la osro olov. But what we are afraid of is she might be prohibited to him. And if he doesn't go to the Beis Din on Monday, he keeps her. And he might keep a woman whom he's not allowed to keep. Udekotoin taino my love, dekotoin taino spesa basuach. And surely when he tainas and he comes to the Beis Din, what taina does he taina? He tainas Pesach Pesuach. That is what we've got to taina. So we see from here is a proof that Pesach Pesuach she becomes asura to him. Answers the Gemara the obvious question, says Loda Kotoin Tainas Domim. The Gemara says, no. Our Mishnah is speaking about where he tainas that he didn't find any dam basulin, he didn't find any blood. Rabbi Elazar's din is, his chidush is, not only that he doesn't find the blood, he says that I'm not dealing with blood. He says, I'm dealing with Pesach Pesuach.
It's a different matter.
Pesach Pesuach, where there's a possibility to say, he made a mistake. Even there, we say that Ne'emon La'osro Olof. That is what I say. But our Mishnah is speaking about Tainus Domit. One thing we can't understand. What is the Havamina of the Gemara? Surely the Gemara should have thought itself. Of course, our Mishnah is speaking about Tainus Domit. It's not true. That's the Gemara. The Havamina, you know what the Havamina is?
No, the Tainus Domit.
Is this what Tainus
Domit? Tainus Domit.
All right. I'm sorry, what is that?
The Havamina is...
Initial assumption.
It's initial assumption. Rebuttal. For example, I say, George, why didn't I see you this afternoon? And you look at me. But you didn't see me this afternoon. I said, yes, I saw you this afternoon. So what was the question? I said, what was the question? That's what's worrying you. Yeah, we bring a proof of our mind. That's, say, what was the hover menu? You asked, you said, why didn't I see you this afternoon?
Premise, yes.
I'll be happier when we use the word hover menu. It's a premise. When, David, all right?
Yes.
Happy?
Right.
Now. Yes, David.
I think it's undoubtedly because I wasn't here when the shir began learning the Mishnah, so I don't know exactly what we're talking about.
All you've got to know is those four words. Pesura Mises Miyom Rabi. That's all you've got to know. Those are the quotes from the Mishnah.
Okay.
She can get married on Wednesday. So if she can get married on Wednesday, can she get married on Thursday?
No.
No? On Thursday, not. Why not? Because if she gets married on Wednesday, when does he have the bill?
Wednesday night.
When does the Beis Din sit?
Thursday.
Yes. If he gets married on Thursday, when does he have the bill?
Thursday night.
When's the Beis Din?
Monday.
Final Maaser. Friday. Shabbos. Sunday. Already 72 hours and he hasn't been to the Beis Din. Monday he won't go. Follow?
Okay, better follow.
That's what you're afraid. What are we afraid of if you won't go? What's the terrible thing? Phil, you know, will I still see you?
Yes.
Good. What is the terrible thing? That if he, say he won't go, he'll give her 200 instead of 100 for Kasuba?
I don't understand.
Why does he want to go to the Beis Din? What are the possibilities? Possibilities is, for a Besulo, one writes a Kasuba, one gives her 200 Krugerons. For a Be'ula, if he's lived with somebody, we give 100. He says Pesach Posuach means that she's a Be'ulo. And I've given it in the Kesubah, it says if I divorce or if I die, she gets from the estate 200. She should only get 100. I'm going to rectify it with the Beis Din. So we say, now, he must get married on Wednesday, because if on Thursday, then he might fail to go to the Beis Din on Monday. You get cooled off. So what's the worst that can happen? You give her 200.
Yeah. This is a different...
Just one moment. Does he want to give her 200? If he wants to give it, it's not our business. Yeah, who cares? Yeah. So that can't be the reason we are so afraid. You can't get married on Thursday. Yeah. And there's a very good reason to get married on Thursday. I don't know whether you were here.
That I was for the brokha.
That's right, because of the brokha. No, you can't get married on Thursday. Must be a better reason. says the Gemara, the reason is surely can be only one other reason. He wants to say Pesach Pesuch Matzasi.
You would only want to say Pesach Pesuch Matzasi if the word Eishes Kohen or...
Yes, he's speaking about Eishes Kohen. Or Pechusa Mibatim Mishonim Yom Yechon. Speaking only about those two cases.
Well, then, so if it's not those two cases, then he could get married any day because it wouldn't make any difference.
Yes, but then it was low plug. Because of these two women, they instituted that day, then they instituted for everybody that
day.
Oh, okay. We did that. That was all right.
Catching up a little.
Right,
that's all right.
Yes?
Why is that? Is that a Baraisa that brings this down?
That's a Mishnah. Oh, isn't it Mishnah?
It's
right.
I know, but
what?
What the Gemara here is saying, though.
What Rabbi is saying.
Right, what Rabbi is saying is that. What do you think? We're going to have the Hapamina that he wants to knock it down from 200 to 100.
Yes.
Why does I don't understand why Abai says that when it's very clear what the Mishnah is talking about, why he would go to Bezin.
He says, I'm going to eliminate. And what we've got to understand, we are afraid he'll cool down. So if he cools down, what can happen? Let us eliminate. What can happen is he'll give it 200 instead of 100. So for that we say don't get married on Thursday. We wouldn't say that. So we've eliminated that. That isn't the reason. So there must be another reason. Must be more serious than that. What is the more serious? He found Pesach Pesuah. Perhaps she's a surah to him. You follow? That's he's speaking. So the Gemara says no, but there is another possibility. There's a third possibility. That he didn't find dumb. That's why the Mishnah is speaking about dumb. The Sula, he says, Le Yom Ravi. A Basula gets married on Wednesday, but only on Wednesday and not on Thursday. And we're speaking about Eishes Kohen, for example. So no confusion. Only, not on Thursday. Why? Because if she gets married on Thursday, we are afraid that he, on Thursday night, he doesn't find dumb. So it's possible that she was Mazane Tachtov. She had an association of the Kiddushi, in which he's not allowed to live with her. And if we wait till Monday, he'll get talked over and he'll calm down and he'll cool down and he won't go. And he's not allowed to live with her. That's what the Mishnah means. But and what would be if he's got a time of Pesach Pesuach? From the Mishnah, so proof. Pesach Pesuach, as far as that is concerned, we're not afraid. That would be that's the way the Gemara wants to learn. Mm-hmm. That's the way the Gemara answers, that's the scorn of the Gemara. That's the way the Gemara answers. There's no proof from there. That's why Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, I say Pesach Pesuach also. Do you follow?
Yeah.
It works out very easily. We'll still get it right. Now, the only question is that I'm asking, excuse me, Harry, just let me finish this. The only question I'm asking is that what's the Havamin of the Gemara? The Gemara should have gone straight away to Domi. It's an interesting, Tosfos says that if he didn't find Dom on Thursday night, we wouldn't be afraid of Ikrure Daito.
What's
he cool? He calmed down. He cooled down. Because if he didn't find dump Friday morning and there is no dump, he is very worked up. This is a sure sign. He is very worked up. That's the Havamina of the Gemara is. He won't calm down. For Pesach Pesuach, yes.
There's less doubt.
Course. That's right. Pesach Pesuach, he can get talked over. He can get talked over. But dumb he can't. So the Gemara answers, no, the Mishnah speaks about dumb. But if Pesach Pesuach, you've got no proof from the Mishnah. If Pesach Pesuach, you've got no proof from the Mishnah, you've got to come back to Rabbi Elazar. That's why we need Rabbi Elazar. So all the Gemara wanted to do is to say that we know it from the Mishnah. The Gemara says from the Mishnah we wouldn't have known it. We are dependent on Rabbi El-Ozo. This is Rabbi El-Ozo's statement. So Rabbi El-Ozo had this din from his Torah Shemal Peh. The Mishnah doesn't speak about it, but Rabbi El-Ozo speaks about it. David, until 5 minutes ago, you were so fresh and bright. You are wilting a little. It's a long time, right? Doesn't matter.
Well, it matters because I want to understand.
You'll understand it, I assure you. You'll understand it. If not today, next week, but you'll understand it. You don't have to worry about that.
So I can get there, may I ask you this question?
Are we pardon?
So that I can get there, may I ask you this question?
Yes, of course.
Isn't the question of blood irrelevant? Because we know from the fact that if there is Pesach Pasuah Nosofi, then it's just as if there was a proof of no blood. In other words, it's just as firm upon him that she's also to him. See what I'm saying?
No, not quite. Do you follow me?
No. Okay, I'm confused at why we're bringing the yet another understanding of in here, the question of whether there's blood or not. That seems to me irrelevant. In other words, he knows himself whether or not there's Pesach Pasuah Nosofi.
Yes.
He knows that.
Yes, you see, what the Gemara says is, we have worked it out that if he says Pesach Pasuah Nosofi, we believe him only with regard to himself.
Mm-hmm.
We, in our own minds, have got just a little bit of a doubt. We say he might be 90% certain. He might be 99% certain. He might be 99.9% certain. But there's just something always must be a little bit of a doubt. If it's dumb, there he's certain. Well, it's no dumb, as in the Kervises. But you're speaking about it as sooner, you see. You're not speaking about a girl who's already 45 or something. It's not that.
We're only talking about Pesach Pasuah, where there's no sheets anyway. That's right.
That's what we are speaking about. That's what Rabbi Ozo says. But what the Abaya says, he says, I can bring a proof from the Mishnah. If we're afraid that he will cool down, it must be because of Pesach Pasuah. And the Mishnah says, you can't get married on Thursday, because then you won't come to the business. So what if you won't come to the business? What's the terrible thing? He'll keep her. He's not allowed to keep her. And what is he tying the Pesach Pasuah? He tying the Pesach Pasuah, so we've got a proof. Says the Gemara, no. The Mishnah, we can learn the Mishnah that it's speaking about that.
I have another question.
Yes.
About the mechanics of this thing. Let's say that a man gets married to a woman, and it's Wednesday night, and for some reason there's no basedin. Something happened to basedin.
There is no basedin, yes.
Yes. Can he make his wife usher to himself without having the basedin? In other words, can he find Pesach Pasuah? There's no basedin. Something happened. The roads were washed out. It rained that night, even though it's Wednesday night. He tries to go to the basedin the next day. Can he make his wife usher to him and say, I'm sorry, you know, I can't? Or does he need the basedin to confirm it? I mean, that's the question.
Yes. He can do that, and he can say, well, I can't live with you. He can say that. But what will probably happen if there is no basedin is she will speak to him the whole of Thursday. And Friday, he will say, well, Friday the basedin doesn't say, Shabbos, let's enjoy Shabbos. Sunday, it'll pass there. Although he said it was us, it'll pass. That's what the basedin does.
So it's a precaution, in other words.
Well, of course,
it's not
it is.
It's
Oh, no, it's not impossible, but that's the way it will work. But once he's been to the basin, the basin says, no, it's now unfinished. And there's no question about it. I don't want to take the Gemara any further. I think you're a bit tired, and are there other things that I can do with you? I'll just give you a bit rest here. Yes, what you want?
I've got a problem with this.
Yeah.
Because it seems that what Abai is saying seems to make more sense now in the way we interpret what the mission is talking about.
Right.
Because from the standpoint of a group, Ikura Data,
yes,
that he's going to cool off, he'd be more likely to cool off on something that he can justify in his own mind that perhaps he made a mistake. With the idea for sheep, that's something that's certain. If he doesn't see it, that's something that would be less likely to cool off than to say that's a Pesach.
That's right. That's what Tosfos says, yes. Right.
So then why then don't we say that? We learn in the Mishnah because of Pesach Pesach.
Yes, you're quite right. That's the way Abai wants to learn it, exactly
right.
As you say. Says the Gemara, but it's not conclusive. I can say that the Mishnah is speaking about dam, and Pesach Pesuach, the Mishnah would say, lo kimle. He's not certain. I can't bring a proof from the Mishnah. I would say that's the way the Mishnah speaks. You follow?
Not really. The whole idea of having it then on Wednesday was because of the fact that, let Bezin determine whether or not it's conclusive. Not him. If he says, Pesach Pesuach Mesasi,
what we say is not conclusive, that that's what the Mishnah means. Abaya wanted to say that the Mishnah means that if he says Pesach Pesuach Mesasi, and you don't have to worry about Ikruri, if it was that there's no dam, this Mishnah isn't speaking about no dam. Because no dam, it wouldn't be Ikruri Daya. So Gemara answers, he said, yes, it's a very nice assumption that if there is no dam, there won't be Kruri Daita. Nice assumption. He said, but you can't rely on it. It's not conclusive. Perhaps the Mishnah is afraid that even if there's no dam,
there's still maybe
only Kruri Daita. You know what a woman? It can also be Kruri Daita.
Yeah.
You follow it? That's what it says. No proof from there.
Right.
All right. Now, just you can sit back for a little while. Sit back for a little while.
Philip Bowen.
Ago, this shir asked me a question about summer. And I just took it from various things. And then I said that is not the whole story by any means. It's only part of the story. So the thing is also. This afternoon, David Jocelyn asked me a question. I couldn't speak to him. It was a public place. A lot of noise going on. We just couldn't speak. And in any event, in order to answer that question, I have got to be able to... And he asked me that I would deal with it at the shir. I don't remember whether I said yes or I said I'd try it. I said something like that. But in order to do so, one has to understand the whole problem of evil a little bit better. And that is, one has to understand the other difficulties about evil. Now, if you want to understand about this different aspect now of evil. Quite a different aspect. And don't forget that Yeshayahu says Yotzer Or Uvorei Ra, that Hashem formed life and He created evil. He created evil. So Hashem created evil. Evil is not just that the absence of goodness means that there is evil. That evil in itself is a brio. Evil in itself is a yesh. What is this? What kind of a power is it? We get something of an idea of the power of evil from the beginning of Eel, the book of Job, where it tells us a story of what a wonderful person Eel was. He's Tam the Yoshor, he's perfect, he's upright, he's God-fearing, and he turns away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a man of great substance. And when he's on a yontif, his sons and daughters got together, he brought a korban afterwards. Because they got together, perhaps they spoke a word of Lashon Hara. He made atonement for them. A big tzaddik. Till the day, and now that Eov describes, it describes in Eov the court of Hashem. And all the B'nai Hu Elohim came Lehis Yatzev Al Hashem, to stand by Hashem. All the B'nai Elohim. What are the B'nai Elohim? All the forces which Hashem has created. The Malochim. I don't know what a Maloch is. Forces that Hashem created. But they exist. The Sotan comes also amongst them. The Sotan, Larry, who is he? English for it? The Sotan is Sotan and is not Satan. We always come back to that.
You had a chance next week.
That's what the Sotan. Vayomer Hashem el HaSotan. And just listen to this. Hashem says to the Sotan, May Ayin Tova. Where do you be? Where do you come? Vayano Sotan is Hashem, Vayomer. Sotan says to him, From where have I been? Mishuto Oritsu Mizalechbo. Whole earth, right through, everywhere. That's where I've been. Vayomer Hashem and Asotan. And the Shem says to Asotan, Hatsamto Libuch al Abdi Eov, have you paid any attention to my servant Eov? You say you've gone through the whole world. What about my servant Eov? A nice thing. Eov is a man upright and whole and perfect and sur meiro and God fearing. So Hashem says to him, and my servant Eov says, the Sotan answered him. He says Hashem, Ki ain komo bo'oritz ishtom v'yoshon. There's no man upon earth like Eov, upright, perfect, God-fearing, avoiding evil. Vayana Sotan es Hashem v'yomar. And the Sotan answers Hashem and he says to him, Achinam yore Eovim. Eov is God-fearing. Why shouldn't he be God-fearing? Hallo, ato, sachto, v'adel, v'adbeisto, v'kol ha-shelev misoviv. You have protected him and his household and everything that he has from round about. I can't get anywhere near to him. Of course he's God-fearing. You don't give me a chance. God-fearing. Says he, ואולום שלחנו יורחו וגר בכל אשר לו אם לא על פונך יבור אחר. Give me half a chance. Just if I could touch you. Will he curse you? Will he curse you? ויאמר השם לעשות הנה כל אשר לו בידך. Says right, all these possessions are in your hands now. Do with them what you are. Do you realize what it is about here? Sotan is prepared to leave him alone. I mean, yeah, you've got a dog, and the dog doesn't worry about the man walking in the street, and the dog is lying, and you take the dog and you poke him with your foot, and you say, suck, and the dog goes off and bites him. What do you want to do it for? And that's what it's about. I mean, can you understand a thing like this? Because everything that he has, do what you like. Don't touch his body. Not his body. Do what you like. Fine, thank you very much. Says the Sultan. Just what I want. Thanks. And they were eating his ear, and his sons were eating. Umalach boil ear, a messenger comes to ear, and he said, all your cattle were plowing, and your asses were feeding, and a band of terrorists came and took them away, and they killed your herdsmen. I alone escaped to tell you the tale. So he's lost his cattle. This one hadn't finished speaking yet. Another person comes. And he said, a fire came down from heaven and destroyed the flocks. I alone am alive to tell the tale. So he's lost his herds, he's lost his flocks. This one was still speaking, and he said, Babylonians came, spread themselves into three spearheads, took away the camels. The attendants slew all the attendants. I alone am here to tell the tale. This one still speaking, your sons and your daughters were feasting. Comes an earthquake, tornado, roots up the house, kills them all. Eov rends his clothes and he prostrates himself and he says, I came into this world naked. I shall return from this world naked. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Unmoved, steadfast as a rock. End of the first chapter. Starts another chapter. Same scene. By Yovel, B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, whoever they are, come, stand before Hashem. By Yovel, Gam Sotan. Satan is also there. By Yovel, Hashem, and Sotan. Amy's it over. Where have you been? Been doing your job properly? What have you been up to now? He says, yes, sir. I've been all over. Mishuto all is misalecho. I've been all over. Vayomer Hashem, he says, well, have you paid any attention to my servant Eov? Because there's none like him upon earth. He's upright, he's good, he's God-fearing, he turns from evil. And he still remains steadfast in spite of what you have done to him. And the Sultan answers Hashem and he says, you can do anything to a man. It's true. Just touch his skin. for his kin, that he's right. Until then, I can understand. Just let me touch his skin, that's all. And then I'll show you what I can do, Hashem. So Hashem says to the Sultan, he's in your hand, but don't kill him. Do what you like to him, but don't take his life. Leave it to me. He goes out and then he smites. He is covered with boils and all sorts of things. And it's itching, and he takes a potsherd and he scratches himself. And still he remains firm. Doesn't curse Hashem. And then come his three friends and they start speaking. He curses the day he was born. He curses the night that heralded him. And he says, no reason for it. And his friends start arguing with him. He says, there is a reason. He says, no reason. He said, they say, you have done something. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. They said, that's impossible. Isn't Hashem just? You've done nothing wrong that would never have happened to you. You were a man in public office. You must have done something wrong. A little thing here, a little thing there. Something escaped you. You don't remember it. It didn't even strike you that it was wrong. He said, I am certain that I didn't do anything wrong. I said, just try me then. He says, you think I'm a foolish? I said, no, not a fool. He said, stupid, I'm certainly. You think I'm stupid? No, not stupid. He said, but you did something. Think I'm mad? I'm telling you, I didn't do anything wrong. How can a person be so certain of himself? Kimlay. I'm certain. Was Eel right or was his friends right? Who was right? Oh, pardon? Eel was right. We've got the evidence in the first two chapters. Eel is right. Hashem said there was nothing wrong with him. Eel is right. So we see that a man can be absolutely just and this can happen to him. Eel puts his whole philosophy into four words. When he says, Eel, Eretz Mitno V'Yad Rosho. I've only got one explanation. Can't understand it. It's not an explanation. It's an observation. Eretz Mitno V'Yad Rosho. Earth is given over into the hands of wickedness. Wickedness prevails. Not because I've done wrong. Not because anybody has done wrong. That is the power of wickedness. It is there and it prevails. That is the only way I can explain it. In the end, you know the story. Is he right or is he wrong? Till the end he remains steadfast.
And Hashem eventually restores him.
Hashem restores everything he's had. And some ask the question, some ask the Everybody asks the question. So he gets a wife again. And he gets children again. So what does it mean restored? He still lost his first wife. He still lost his children. How can you say restore? You can restore substance, but you can't restore children. So there is a view that it turns out that the whole thing wasn't correct. That this didn't at all happen. that Hashem brought it about in this way, and this is what they came and reported, but these things didn't happen. And he goes through all this experience, but in reality it didn't even happen. And it's his own wife, and it's his own children, that's his story. That is the view I'm just telling you.
How about what happened to him?
That was real. Oh, that was real.
What happened to him?
Most excruciating pain.
But that could have been restored.
So Eretz Nitno Beyad Rosho. So we see that there is this something that we don't understand at all. We call a concept. When we begin to understand. I'll deal with this concept. What is it? Well, we see such wickedness in the world today. As if the world has been given over into wickedness. Don't forget what has happened. There's a debate going on Friday. With a Arafat should be allowed the PLO to come. How long ago was it if a person murdered, which is a crime, an individual murder, from that it went to organized crime. From organized crime it goes to government. But at least it wasn't recognized. The respectable government didn't recognize. Then government started recognizing. America still doesn't recognize. England, both the party in power, the Conservative Party, and the party in opposition said they prepared to recognize Arafat, the PLO. Quite, they prepared to recognize them. They didn't do it. The European Common Community prepared to recognize him. Criminals. Yes, prepared to recognize, sit on the table, negotiate, prepared to do it. Altis chabe le rosho. On no account are we to join up with the rosho. Oy le rosho ve oy lishchener. Woe unto the wicked man and woe unto him who is next door. This is what it's come down to. World is innovating. What is the idea behind it? What is the purpose? How do we understand it? Next time, next week, same time, same place.
Make sure everybody comes back.
Was it Jonah or did Rabbi say it didn't happen?
There is a view, and I just want to explain something to you. The Mishnah and the Gemara in Soto gives us an idea of what is meant by Hitma'atut Hadoros. Hitma'atut Hadoros. Yes. That each generation one sees a deterioration in Torah. And of course we know that there will come a time where there will be a complete reversal of this. But for the time being, and this will be going on for some considerable time, there's been a reversal of this. There's been this steady deterioration. I was doing a shiur yesterday afternoon in San Jose, and there were four people at that shiur, two men sitting here, two men sitting there, and they couldn't understand something, and it was so simple that I want to tell you about it, and I want to tell you why they couldn't understand it. The subject we were discussing it was a Tosfos that was discussing the subject of Birkas HaTorah. Now, you know, one isn't allowed to learn until one has made the brochas for the Torah. And the brochas for the Torah are to be found in the Siddur, at the beginning of the Siddur. You'll find them here. The first brocha is, Baruch Adu Hashem Malkeinu Melech Olam Hashem Kishon V'Mesvotov Tzivonu La'aseh V'Divrei Torah, to occupy ourselves in Torah. And it doesn't say, Lilmod Torah, but La'aseh V'Divrei Torah. And that's a Harayim Torah, you've got to be right in it. I mean, it's not just reading the Torah. Then you remember the Rashi and the Tosfos and the Ran we did on the question of what brochas begin with the Baruch and end with the Baruch. So there's a machlekes here whether the next paragraph is also a separate brocha, or whether this is a continuation of the first brocha, and it will be a brocha that begins with a Baruch and ends with a Baruch. You remember Rashi Shita that if it brings in something extraneous, it must end with a Baruch. And Tosfos's Shita that if it is a long brocha, it's got to bring in, we discussed according to Tosfos, what is a wrong brocha, a long brocha. And the next brocha, Baharim Hashem Elokeinu Divrei Torah Bekidu, may the words of the Torah, may they be pleasant in our mouths, and in the mouths of Am Yisrael, may we all know the Torah, learn the Torah for its own sake. And then the great brocha, what the Gemara calls the Meshubach Bibrochos, the most praiseworthy of the brochas. Baruch atu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashem Baruch Arbonu Mikol Vamim Menos Andone Es Torosel Baruch atu Hashem Nesein Torah. You all know that brocha. Those are the three brochas, or the two brochas, depending how we count it. Let us say those are the three brochas that we make before we begin learning. So if we get up early in the morning, we get up at 6 or 5:15, and we want to learn, we make those brochas before we learn. So we wash our hands and we make our Nefilah Shedoim, and we make the brocha of our Hashem Yotzaris Odom, and we make the brocha of Elokai Neshomo Shenosati Midahurahi Baruch Adu Hashem Hamachzir Neshomo Zegolim Esim, and then we make the brochas over Torah, and then immediately afterwards there are three verses from the Torah, so we will then say the bit of Torah. Yevarechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho, yo'er Hashem pono v'lecho v'yichonecho, yisu Hashem pono v'lecho yisei v'cho shalom. So three psukim from the Torah. Then there is a Mishnah, Eilu devor Mishaelen yunayet b'chot.
No.
Oh, you've got anything against, don't you, you see doing, is it only prayer books that you use? We've got inhibitions, complexes about Siddurim. That's right. That's a Mishnah. So we've learned Torah, we've done Mishnah, and after the Mishnah, etc. And that is a Braisa. It's already Gemara. It's outside Mishnah's Gemara. So we've learned Torah, Mishnah, and Gemara. Very nice. Then the Gemara deals with the subject, just as we finish this Philip, then the Gemara deals with the subject, what the Gemara says, if he didn't get up in the morning to learn, then he doesn't have to make these three brochas over again. He doesn't have to make these three brochas if he doesn't get up early in the morning to learn. He doesn't have to make these three brochas. If he just davens, then he is yotze with Ahavu Rabbo. Ahavu Rabbo Aftonu. That is, in this edition, it's on page 41. This is, in the morning there are two brochas before the Shema. The first one is a brocha which deals with light. And the second one is a brocha that Hashem has loved us with great love and has given us the Torah and may He inspire us in the Torah and so forth. And we end, blessed art thou, our Lord, Abacheva Mei Yisrael V'Avo, who has chosen His people Israel in love. So the Gemara paskens
that if Omar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmur, it is in the Gemara, that if one is davened, and then, and one didn't say Birchas Hatevet, but one is davened, and then one learns, then one doesn't have to say the brachas of the Torah over again, because this bracha is instead of it. Pardon?
You said it again, but
He didn't say the brochas of the first three brochas. Then he doesn't have to make any brochas. This is his birkas ha-terebon. And then Tosfos comes on. There's some two very interesting chidushim that Tosfos introduces. And they couldn't understand. What they couldn't understand was, but you've got a siddur. So you say it in the beginning of the siddur, you say it. If only they couldn't understand. So I tried to explain to them, I said, you know, you were in the workshop. We are speaking before there were siddurim. Don't you understand that in the time of the Gemara, people didn't use siddurim. They used the Gemara. You want to know what broker to make, you look in the Gemara. So you learn from the Gemara what brachas to make and how to daven. And in the same as you knew your Gemara by heart, it was Torah Shebaal Peh, so you knew your davening by heart. There is just no question about it. I found it very difficult to explain it to them. And I had to just reduce it to its lowest common denominator. I want you to realize what it is. What time do you daven here in the morning if you have a morning meeting? What time do you start here?
6:30. We don't have a morning meeting, unfortunately.
But when if you do. If you do, when you do. Or make a difference. Just like Mark told me about these articles in the Herald Examiner. Imagine you have a morning minyan. What time do we start? That's the way
they do it. The last time we tried to have a morning minyan, we tried at 6:30.
Fine, alright. Let us say 6:30. You have mornings. Yeah, if you start at 6:30, and when do you reach Borchu at what time?
15 minutes later.
6:45. So if a person rushes in at Borchu, and he's a tzaddik. He's got in a Kaddish, a Chatzi Kaddish. He's got in a Baruch. He's a Tzaddik already. Got in a Baruch. Isn't that so? Of course he's a Tzaddik. And if he comes after Baruch, you only to please that he came. But before Baruch, he's already a Tzaddik. In the time of the Gemara, there was a minyan every morning, of course. But if it was due to start at 6:30, nobody arrived after 5:30. Because an hour was spent in preparation for the tefillah. You follow? I mean, today, at least with the new administration, before, let us say, you were called to the White House, all right, you don't have to wash or put on a tie or dress. But now, I mean, if you call to the White House, now you dress properly. Mrs. Reagan might come in. She's always immaculately dressed. So you've got to prepare yourself. You spend a little time washing, cutting your beard, trimming your moustache, putting on a pair of socks, a pair of shoes, trousers, a suit.
None of which can necessarily be
reproduced. You did it. You're coming to the Rabbeinu Shleilo. You're praying in front of the Rabbeinu Shleilo. 1 hour before the Hasidim Rishonim, the Hasidim Rishonim used to be 1 hour before the davening. But that means that everybody was there. How many people are Jews are there in San Jose? Los Angeles.
600,000.
Let us say of those 600,000, 300,000 are men. Of those 300,000, let us say that 300,000, let us say that of those 300,000, 200,000
are above the age of 10 and below the age of 110. Person B, until he's 10, all right, we are mechev, he doesn't come to shul. After 110, it's difficult for him to come. So you've got 100 years. So there are, at least I would say, that there are, in that 100-year period, there are 200,000. I want you to know that in the time of the Gemara, every one of those 200,000 people was in shul. At 5 o'clock, he was on his seat, and he didn't move about. But every one of them, because, did I say 5 o'clock? So half past five. You'd started off for 6 years. So at half past five, he was on his seat already, preparing himself for the davening. Afterwards, they instituted, instead of that, because if we come at half past five to shul for that hour, we'll do a lot of avodas waiting for the davening. So it was instituted that we have Pesuke de Zimro. That is from Boruche Omar to Boruchu. That we have Pesuke de Zimro, and Pesuke de Zimro prepares us for Tefillah. And why is it called Pesuke de Zimro? Zimro is not from song. Zimro, Lizmor et Hagefen. It's the pruning. We prune, this is the pruning of the person. That is what Pesuke de Zimro is. Well, it's called Pesuke de Zimro. Milton, you understand? It is Milton, isn't it?
I responded with no question.
Good. Now I see you alive.
I'm trying to understand this preparation better, because I know it's necessary even to prepare for Shabbat. It's
for everything. That is Hachana, Hachono. Hachono is an attribute. It's an attribute. A person prepares. He's got a meeting, he prepares. He's got to see the President of the United States. I was going to say mistakes. He prepares. He comes to a shir, he prepares. A person prepares, you see. Whatever he prepares. This is a midah, it's a midah, hachona. It's a midah, it's a hachona. He prepares. Now, so the number of people that were there, you had 200,000 people, and each shul was as full as it is on Kol Nidre night. Because you didn't have a person who came only on Kol Nidre night. Came every day. So that's what I'm trying to give you to understand what it was like. And I can speak to you because I still saw something of this. I still saw something of this. That is what it was. 200,000. And they come at half past five. Of course it's no question. They make the Birchas HaTorah. There's no question, you see. Make the Birchas HaTorah first. But as soon as it became a little bit weaker, then a person might have come to shul just as he started these birchas hashachar. He's still got to put on his talis and he's to fill in. So he didn't, he did Boruch She'omar. He started from Boruch She'omar together with them and he went through. We come much later, we start from he'll say, sometimes we come even later. And this we go back. So that is why they didn't, it wasn't legislated previously. But in the Siddur, it wasn't legislated previously. It is only afterwards that these problems arose. But in the time of the Mishnah, these problems didn't arise at all. Of course, a person got up early and he made the Birchas HaTorah. The first thing, according to the Vilna Gaon, not only isn't one allowed to learn without making the Birchas HaTorah first, one isn't even allowed to think in learning without making the Birchas HaTorah. And you can imagine how difficult it was for a person like the Vilna Gaon not to think in learning. And there are times when you're not in places when you're not allowed to think in learning. There are no times when you're not in their places. When one is in a base of Kisei, one isn't allowed to think in learning. in a... one isn't allowed to think in learning. So, how did the Gaon manage? How was it possible to prevent his mind learning from learning? He became a very great mathematician. Very great mathematician. I think I told you, he became such a great mathematician that in one of the German encyclopedias he's down as a mathematician. And it goes down to a certain incident when he was passing through Königsberg. He was in a certain home, he was staying over the night, and there was a student there, and he saw the student was working something. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "A mathematical problem." He said, "What is it?" So he showed it to him. The professor said that it's impossible to work out. So he looked at it, took a pen and showed him the way you work it out. The student got so excited that he ran to his professor first thing the next morning. The professor got so excited, he said, "I want to see this man." And he came there, he had gone already. So he asked, who was it, and he took down what he did, and he had this, and he went down as a mathematician in the encyclopedia. So he learned his mathematics from just that. He wasn't allowed to think in learning. I just want to give you some idea. I want to give you some idea of what it was in those days. A person wouldn't come an hour before the Dabbe. Chassidim would be showing him. Shua Achas. An hour before they used to come and they used to prepare themselves for the Dabbe. We've got the Psuke de Zimra to be left over. Now, I know a certain person doesn't say Psuke de Zimra. Why don't you say Psuke de Zimra? He says, on principle I don't say it. What's the principle? The principle is because Psuke de Zimra is not mentioned in the Gemara. Here, find a miser. Not mentioned in the Gemara. And when do you come to Shul? I don't remember when you were last there before Baruch Hu. So you don't say Psuke de Zimra. You should say Psuke de Zimra 10 times over. That's what is necessary. People just don't understand what it's all about. To be able to, but you've got to understand what a deterioration there has come into the life of the Jew. And it's going to go worse before it becomes better. We might have a chance to speak about it at the end of the sheet. What did you want to ask this, Lord? Did you want to ask? Yes, I'm sorry.
I have two questions.
Yes.
The second one is, if I come in to shul a few minutes before Baruch Hu, or even 10 minutes, but I'm a little slow in my davening, I have time to either speed through most of Psuke de Zimra, just at top speed, or to say 3 or 4 of them with Kavanah. Which is better?
Say 3 or 4 of them with Kavanah. And the 3 or 4 you say with Kavanah is, you say Baruch Sheomar, Ashrei, Hal, Lu, Kebuk, Begal, Bikul, Zal, Grub, Grub, Eresifah, Hal, Lu,
forgive me.
Ashrei is the first one. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, is Rashimim Hashemam Lubam Rameyam Kom Lachov. And then I look at Kejav Kiev, so the last one. Those are the 3 you say, and then you say Yishtabak. And if you can't manage those, the main thing, you must try and double Shemam Yisra to die together with the congregation. If you can't manage that, then you start from Yotzei Ro'ur.
The point is, better a few with Kavanah than speeding through all of them.
Ashrei is
all
part of Psuke
de Zimra. Psuke de
Zimra, yes. Isn't he for both considered to be
also Psuke de Zimra.
But isn't that considered to be one of the important?
No, no. Those 3. Ashrei, and the Hallelujah, that one, and then the last one.
What were, I'm sorry, there was Ashrei, and then...
And the 2 that say Hallelujah.
It's the 3rd and 5th of the Hallelujah as afterwards, right?
It's the Ashrei is the 1st, and then the 4th and the 6th. Ashrei is the 1st, the 4th and the 6th. Those are the important ones. All right.
And my first question,
yes,
why doesn't one bracha on learning suffice instead of two or three?
Because it's the whole subject that goes on. It covers the subject. It covers the subject. In the Gemara it says the one, and then another one says another one, and the third one says a third one, and the conclusion of the Gemara is we say all three. Because they each deal with different things.
Do we have to go right into learning Torah?
Just one moment. Have you got that, Phyllis?
Well, only in the most general way.
Well, that's all right. For the first question. And he's asked the second.
Well, I was afraid if I asked the first one first, we'd never get to the second, but if I start with the second, we have to get to the first.
Yes, well, you want to ask.
That is, the three brachas on the Torah. It's important that we then immediately go to the Torah without anything else. I mean, it's far from
well, that's an interesting, that's one of the great traditions that Tosfos makes. Tosfos is in Avo Rabo, you don't learn immediately after the davening. You don't learn immediately afterwards. Then, says Tosfos, that then Avo Rabo doesn't potter you from Birkas HaTevo.
As long as you're going to be learning some Torah that day.
If you, then it doesn't. If you learn 2 hours later or an hour later, then you've got to make these brachas again. That's what Tosfos says. Why? He says, because Avo Rabo is not a real bracha on the Torah. It needs a credence to make it. It needs a credential. The credential is if you learn immediately afterwards, then it's a...
But in the davening itself, aren't you learning some Torah? Even in saying Ashrei or Shema.
You think Shema?
Well, look here. Do you learn Torah? You see, you don't know what Torah is. How do you understand Umas Bia L'chol Chai Rotzeh?
Well, obviously.
That's not Torah. That's not Torah. That's saying Tehillim. That's not Torah, you see. Torah is when you go through that Torah Shibarte goes through your mind.
If that's the case, then repeating these persifim from the
that's why immediately you go to a Mishnah.
Is your point, I don't understand anything, so I can't do
I don't say you don't understand. I say you understand a lot, but you don't understand all that you say.
Right. In the case of saying these pesukim from the Chumash and the Mishnah, I wouldn't be saying
will be, but at least no, but at least you are doing some Mishnah, and at least you are doing some Gemara. And you understand that Ein Devorim She'Odor Ein Devorim She'Ein Lim Shir Apeyu Vabikuri Varyonis Nilas Chasodim Vesalmud Teru. Now, so you've got a Mishnah. Now the Gemara. Ein devorim shura berchel pereisa b'lo mazveh kimet ha'olam b'abor b'ein kibudo b'ein mugbilis chasod mishkum espeis ha'midrosh. And now you're beginning to understand some of the gemilus chasodim, and yeah, you've got more details of it, and yeah, it says Talmud Torah, yeah, it says the Talmud Torah can make it kulam. You're going deeper into it.
But of course I'm not understanding it since I don't know the language.
You didn't understand that either?
No.
Well,
no,
you've got a lot to learn. Catch up. Let's start learning.
Torah is never, you can't satisfy the requirement with just Torah Shebichtav. You always have to, if I understand correctly?
That's right, yes. Torah Shebichtav without the Torah Shebichtav doesn't mean anything. And when we say, Asher Bocha, we say, Asher Nosa Lonu Torah Semes, V'chayei olom notar v'sulchein, v'chayei olom notar v'sulchein,
that's
the Torah Shebaal
Peh. That's the Torah Shebaal Peh. Because I remember once there wasn't Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on his deathbed warning that you shouldn't read, that young people should be discouraged from too much Isuk v'mikra.
That's right.
I've always been uncomfortable with that.
Because without the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's quite right from the model, it's quite right. All right, now. All leads to the point that the written Torah without the oral Torah doesn't make it. You can't learn it. You see, it's like a body without a soul.
That's right. You should discourage us and just read what he wrote.
When we learn Torah, and that was the great contribution of Rashi. Before Rashi's day, when they learned Torah, they went to the Torah Shebaal Peh, but it became less and less, and Rashi saved it by bringing the Torah Shebaal Peh on the spot, A little Teresh about peace, that means that you weren't learning it without Teresh about peace. You follow? That is what he managed to do. Is.
Rabbi,
is, yes.
Is there some way in which the written Torah is related to Torah MS and the other two?
That we just said, Hashem, no son, no new Torah MS.
Right.
This Hashem who gave us a Torah of truth.
Right, which is related
the written
to
law.
But if there's. Why are those words chosen? In other words, the written Torah is somehow.
The little Torah.
It's true that the other things.
It's the basis. It's the basis for it all. This is the basis. The written Torah is the basis. We've got the basis, and the oral Torah is built up around about it.
And somehow the oral Torah is related to Chaye Olam?
Yes. Well, that's eternity. If once you get. A person's got a soul and a body. Which is the eternal part of him?
The soul.
So, there's a written law and an oral law. And the oral law vis-a-vis the written law is the soul as a, to the body. So which is the eternal part of it?
Right, but that, does that really apply? I mean, the written Torah is eternal also.
Yes, of course it's eternal.
That's all I'm just trying to understand why these words are chosen.
But the thing is, of course it's eternal. But it's the person who studies it. Person who studies it, if he studies only the written law, what does he get? He sees an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Mm-hmm. And if he comes, that's what he gets. Which doesn't mean anything. And it's the Torah Shebarapeh that explains it can't be an eye for an eye. Because there isn't equity, not there are no two eyes that are exactly the same. And there are no two people that are exactly the same. And if a man has been to a dentist 10 times for one tooth, and it hasn't got a nerve, and it hasn't got a root, and it's full of fillings, and he doesn't know how long he'll still be able to, and that, and the other person's tooth, it just doesn't make sense. But that's all Teresh Barpeh. Anyway, now let us get on, please. Says the Gemara as follows. Now we come to a new piece of Gemara, but it's based on what went before. The first thing that the Gemara wants to do, and we touched on this already yesterday. The first thing that the Gemara wants to do is, the Gemara wants to bring a support to Rabbi Elazar. From our Mishnah, we've actually got it. Because we can, from our Mishnah, we can also deduce that if a person says, Pesach Pesuach Motzosi, he is believed. Now, before I want to do the next piece of Gemara, I just want to prepare you for it, the hachona for it, and when you've got the preparation, then you'll find the piece of Gemara very easy. Then you have no difficulty for it. Hachona preparation. Now, you remember the very first Mishnah was, Basulo Niseis Leyom Arabi. A Basulo gets married on Wednesday. Wednesday, fine. Not on Thursday. Although Thursday would be a very good way to a day to get married, because in the Torah on Thursday, there's a special brocha that has been given to the fish on Thursday. True or vu? Special brocha. But no, a basula must get married on Wednesday. And we say the reason why a basula must get married on Wednesday is because we are afraid, mishum ikrure dato, that he will cool down. And if she gets married on Thursday, you cool down between Thursday and the next time the Beis Din meets, which is on Monday. And now 72 hours is as long as the thing lasts. After 72 hours, it's already a stain, you see? So you wait there. Thursday night, Friday night, Shabbos night, Sunday night, by the time Monday morning comes, he won't go to the Beis Din. But if she gets married on Wednesday and he doesn't find the suiting, he goes to the Beis Din on Thursday. So we are afraid that he won't go to the Beis Din. Now, if he goes to the Beis Din, what are the reasons that he can be going to the Beis Din for? What can he be going for the Beis Din?
What are the possibilities? We want to see what possibilities are there. We don't know anything. He says Pesach Pesuach. What does he want to achieve with Pesach Pesuach?
Who do we want to get?
He wants to make her Asura on him. He wants to make her Asura on him. Right. Is there any other thing that he could be?
He doesn't want to pay the Kesuvah.
The Kesuvah can be, he doesn't want to pay the Kesuvah. So it can be either because he wants to make her Asura to him. Larry, you follow the words? Either because he wants to make her Asura to him, or it wants because he wants to make her lose the Kesuvah. So, now, which is the more likely of the two?
That she'll be Asura.
Asura. Because to lose the Kesuvah, who cares? What do we care? That he won't come to the Beis Din to make him lose the Kesuvah. So what's the biggest catastrophe that can happen? That instead of giving her 200 zuz, she will get instead of giving her 100 zuz, she will get 200 zuz. Terrible catastrophe. So because of that, are we going to worry? We should be crying about that. We're not going to worry about that. So it must be something more serious. And if it's something more serious, then it must be to make her Asura to him. Now, that is, so one thing we can understand from the Mishnah. Follow. Another thing, what is the time with which he comes? What are the possibilities? It doesn't say in the Mishnah, if you remember, it doesn't say what his time is, what time means plea. I beg your pardon? So one is he could say Pesach Pesuach. What else could he say?
Domi.
Now, which of the two is the... could say Pesach Pesuach or Domi? Which of the two is the more likely? Yes?
What does Domi mean in this context? I mean...
Blood.
I know it means blood, but...
He says, I didn't find any blood.
There's a lack of Domi.
Yes, lack of Domi. So he's got to... He comes to the Beis Din now. He's got to have a plea. So what is his plea?
Domi or blood?
Either no blood or a Pesach Pesuach. Now, don't forget, we are afraid of a Krurei Avik, pardon?
Wouldn't they be the same, Rabbi Lappin? I mean...
No, not necessarily. Because the whole point that Rabbi Ozer made in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Ozer made, is that if he says Pesach Pesuach Motzosi, he is believed. That's the whole point of Daptes.
Could there be a situation in which there would be a Pesach Pesuach and there was still Dom?
And there was, the first thing was, can there be a Pesach Pesuach and no Dom?
Yes.
That's right, sure, yes. So, now, so he says that there can be, he could say, which is a stronger time, let me put it that way.
That's
not
for sure.
No, Dom is stronger. No Dom.
Let me explain.
And this is the whole Gemara hinges on this point. In Pesach Pesuach, this is the great chiddush of Rabbi Elazar. Because in Pesach Pesuach we say, how certain are you? He says, well, I know. He said, perhaps you made a mistake. I said, I didn't make a mistake. Perhaps you thought it was Pesach Pesuach. And it wasn't Pesach. He said, I know what Pesach Pesuach is. This is it. But there is just a little bit of a doubt. If there's no dumb, you know exactly what it is. See, but there's no dumb. There's no dumb on the sheets. Where is the dumb? No dumb on the sheets. What is the explanation? You follow? So,
yes,
dumb is a stronger timer than Pesach Pesuach for him.
That means that we understand that there could not be a situation in which there was dumb and it was also Pesach Pesuach.
No. There was dumb. Well, look, let us work it on the basis there was dumb and there's no Pesach. That it can't be if there's dumb, then it's Pesach no ur.
Right.
Right.
It's a closed Pesach.
Right, right, okay.
Yes, work so it on that, that, yes.
On that basis.
Yes, we work it on that, yes. We work on that, that if there is dam, then it's a Pesach no ul. But he says Pesach posuach motzosi, a no ul closed. Closed, yes.
Rabbi, we learned before that one of the rules of the Tishmanim was to protect her against a false accusation of dam. Now, I mean, against Pesach Patuach, she would, her, she should be, you know, there's a, this is
yes.
already a, an extreme situation saying that the Tishmanim system has failed, that the sheep have disappeared. In other words, for
yes,
Pesach Patuach, we've been through this, is a very extreme situation.
Yes, but that Rashi covered his mishpachas, Durkati, it's a mishpacha, there is no dam. There is no dam. There are families where there is no dam.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen. That we did with the Rashi there.
Right.
He said that doesn't worry us. But what I want you to realize is when we're doing this Mishnah, what the possibilities are. First of all, the possibilities are Mishumik, that we want him to come to the Beis Din. If we're afraid that there'll be Ikrurei Dato, you know what Ikrurei Dato is?
Cooling down.
If we are afraid, that means that we want him to come to the Beis Din. It's urgent. Why do we want him to come to the Beis Din? Either because of the kasuba, or that he mustn't give her a kasuba, or because to make her prohibited to him. Not to give her a kasuba, who worries? That would be afraid of that. It's make it urgent, we wouldn't do it. So therefore, it must be to make her asura to him. That's one thing we know about Mishnah. Another thing we know, that it could be one of two pleas. Either he could say, I didn't find dam, or he could say, I didn't find the pesa posuach. Which is the stronger one?
Dam.
Dam is the stronger one. So the thing is, what does it cover? The Gemara is going to say, assume. It's not going to say, it's not going to conclude. David, are you with me?
I'm right there with you.
Right. The Gemara is going to assume that he comes with the taina of Pesach Pesuach and not with Dach. And I want you to understand before we do the Gemara, why the Gemara is going to assume that he's going to come with the plea of Pesach Pesuach. Because the Gemara says, you are dealing with a human being. If it is a case of dam, the Havaminu, the assumption of the Gemara is we don't have to be afraid of Ikrurei Dato. He is so certain. There wasn't dam. So, perhaps you made a mistake. Please. You think I'm colorblind?
I never know. They didn't use red sheets or anything at that
point. Then the dam would be white. But it can't be. I mean, Pesach Pesuach, we feel stronger. He might be very insistent, but we feel Dam, we've got nothing to do with it. Dam is a much stronger time. So the Gemara says, if it would have been Dam, there wouldn't be any Krurei Dato. Ikrurei Dato is the wife speaks him out of it. She said, what are you imagining? I'm telling you, Pesach no ul. It might have been a little bit, it's natural, not everybody is the same. But blood, he could be talked over. But with dam, he can't be talked over. So the Gemara is going to say, with the Hava meaning of the Gemara, the assumption of the Gemara, David, are you with me? The assumption of the Gemara is that he must have come with Pesach Pesuach. Therefore, we are afraid that we can't wait until Monday. But if it would have been done, we would have waited until Monday. Yes, David?
Well, isn't the point not whether he finds blood, but whether there's a lack of blood?
Of course, lack of blood. There's been lack of blood, yes?
If there was dumb, in other words, if there was lack of blood.
Yes.
Why would we? He wouldn't cool down. He wouldn't forget about that. That's no doubt.
No, he wouldn't.
She wouldn't talk him out of that.
That's what the Havamin of the Gemara is. That is the assumption of the Gemara.
We'll see what the conclusion of the Gemara is.
But then if you go to the Beit Din, then they have to go with Beit Hamplatzuli, because he has no... All he's saying is that he found no blood, which is the same thing as for him to say that he found
no, this is much better. He goes and he says, look here, Lematzosi Dam, I didn't find any dam.
Well, but if he had...
Of course it's better for Suah. He says, I wonder what if I better for Suah. And then you go and kill me, perhaps it's my imagination. There was no dam.
Why should there ever be a case where he... Because every time he went there, there would be no
doubt. Because we are speaking, there are some women that haven't got down. There are some women that haven't got down. That will be recovered.
But
yes.
If someone doesn't have down, then that's the doubt.
Are we pardon?
That's then what he has to doubt, in the same way that there was a ground to doubt on Pesach Keturah.
Well, look here, we are speaking about a case where he knows that there is, that there's the down can't come in when he does. It's dam or pesach pesuch. Lack of dam or pesach pesuch. That's the way we've been going. What do you want to say?
I just have
some right. All right. Now let us do it inside and see how easy it works out inside. We are starting from Omar Abaya. That is the middle of the fifth line from the top. Omar Abaya. Said Abaya. Afa nan namitani.